Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, April 15th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 90, that fourth paragraph. If he does not want to see you, through one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Audrey C., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Becca R., Anne SCH., and Dana P. The reference number for Monday, April 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,342. That's 22342. And for this morning, Tuesday, April 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,344. 22344. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Chanel T., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Audrey C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Audrey C., recovered compulsive overeater. By the grace of God, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey C. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 90, that fourth paragraph. If he does not want to see you, through one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Becca R. to read and then share with us. Good morning, Becca.
Hi, this is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, calling in from Kentucky. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here, no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. Yeah, so, I mean, my share today is just going to be focused on the attraction rather than promotion. When I first got recovered, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops, and I wanted to save everybody who asked me what I had done to lose weight, and I just thought everybody needed the program, and sadly, that's worked. What has worked is attraction, and when people ask what I'm doing, a lot of the time they're just curious. They aren't interested in the 12-step recovery program, but there are those who have reached out and said, you know, you're doing something different and I'm noticing. And so, to work my program, to recover, to keep the focus on me. And I have to remember there were so many bottoms. I wrote in my journal so many days, like, today's the day I'm going to do this. It was my firm resolve to get back on and to really cling to OA and to the program. And I believe for me, it took every one of those failures to finally get to that point of desperation where there was success and God was able to come in. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish we could all just get it. I wish I could have got it the first time I came to OA, the first meeting I went to. I would have saved myself so much agony. But I don't know if I would have ever had the willingness to do the drastic things that the program requires, to totally surrender. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what others have to share on this this paragraph. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we're talking about page 90 today, that fourth paragraph, starting with, if he does not want to see you, through one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. So who would like to share?
Aliyah A.
Aliyah A?
Yep.
Perfect. Who else would like to share?
Denise O.
Denise O.
Chanel T.
Chanel T. All right. In the interest of time, we'll go with those three, Aliyah A., Denise O., and Chanel T. Aliyah A., it's your turn to share for 3 minutes, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you for your service. My name is Aliyah A., based in Montreal, Canada. Yeah, I like this paragraph because this program has taught me really to meet people where they're at and to really, you know, stop trying to fix people or control them, or, you know, I'm the queen of giving unsolicited advice. And this program has really taught me to, you know, back off, be gentle with people, meet them where they're at, while I'm trying to help them, because I have good intentions and I want to help people, whether it's my children or friends. And many times, you know, I'm over excited about the program or other things that, you know, I feel and I think I know what's good for other people. But in fact, you know, what's good for me doesn't necessarily mean what's good for them. And it came up, you know, in one of in my character defects where, you know, I just have to step back. But when it comes to people like my children and my daughter, for example, I really push my opinion on others and push my advice, thinking that this is good for them. And this program has really taught me, you know, to back off, to be gentle for gentle with people, not force, as it says, never force myself. And when I do, then I catch myself and I'm aware of what I'm doing. And then higher power shows me, you know, another way to do it. And, you know, just to be learning, you know, the patience and the lack of impulsiveness and, you know, listening to others. And you know, giving their needs when they're asking for help or for support, not necessarily when I think it is. So it's really very, you know, it's an example of how the program has changed me, the psychic change and my perspective and my attitude and my beliefs in terms of helping others, because there's a delicate line, you know, when it comes to helping others, but also trying to fix others. And we cannot change others, you know, we can only focus on ourselves. And I stay in my lane, try to stay in my lane and recover and hopefully inspire others and be of service when God wants me and guides me to be of service, and not, you know, my will, but God's will. So this program is truly miraculous. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Aliyah A. from Canada. Denise O., it's your turn to share, followed by Chanel T. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Denise O. I'm in California. And I'm reminded in this paragraph how really this whole chapter is guidance on working with others, as we say, being a sponsor. And as far as this paragraph, what really stood out for me is never force yourself upon him. That as a sponsor, I'm there really as somebody to offer what I've been given, to offer my experience, strength, and hope. And as a recovered person, you know, my story of what happened, what it was like, and, you know, what I'm doing now to maintain this new, beautiful way of living without turning to the food. And just using the book to guide myself and whoever I might be working with through the process of working these beautiful 12 steps. And the other part that spoke to me in this paragraph is you might place this book where he can see it in the interval. You know, that's for me another reminder of a way I could possibly do service. You know, if somebody reaches out and, you know, if they don't have a big book, is there a way I can share mine? You know, if financially able, is there a way I could get them one if they cannot? So lots of good reminders in this. And with that, I pass. And I'm Denise in California, recovered just for today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Denise O. from California. Chanel T., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. This is Chanel T. I'm in Washington State, where it's another day. It's always difficult to be in recovery. There, by the grace of God, I want to welcome everyone who is here with me and thank you all who are doing service, and that includes who are sharing or who are just coming on the line. You're doing service for your own program, but I'll stop preaching now and I'll just say I can be a very forceful personality. I think that's obvious when I share, and God is working on that because humility is necessary. It's necessary to work my own program, and that includes the 12 steps. That includes how I sponsor. I would also talk to you about family.
Chanel, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're kind of cutting in and out. Is there an adjustment that can be made?
Is that any better?
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, we don't want to miss a single word, so maybe back up a few sentences.
You're very kind.
Thank you.
I was going to say that humility is very important. I need a sponsor. I don't know what this person needs. I don't know that need.
Chanel, I'm so sorry. It's still cutting out.
I'll try another day. Thanks
so
much.
Or maybe call back in. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay. We don't want to miss that precious share. Well, thank you so much. And we are talking about page 90 today, that fourth paragraph. It starts with, if he does not want to see you, through that one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. So I'll now take some names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So I have Mary C.
Julie P.
Did I hear Larry G?
Yes, yes, you did, Don.
Okay, thank you. Larry G. And who else?
Wendy
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Julie P.
Julie P.
Charlotte L. Wendy M.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. Mary C., Larry G., Stephen G., Julie P., Charlotte L., Wendy M. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. Mary C., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Larry G.
Good morning. Mary C., from Ohio, a compulsive overeater. And, wow, this really hit me this morning. What a perfect paragraph for me today. I moderated last night a home meeting in person, and we had a brand newcomer. And she had so many questions. She kept interrupting people, and I couldn't get a control of the meeting. And she was just, and I'm thinking, okay, should I stop her? And then a little voice said, no, let her go. She's curious. She's nervous. Just let her talk and let her get it all out. So, and then I remembered when you were reading, leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to control her. And you know what? Nobody had a problem with it except for me. And I realized what I was doing. And I stopped and I just let her be. And hopefully by that, then she'll come back next week. And that's what's really important, that we listen to her and her needs and her questions. So thank you for that. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary C. from Ohio. Larry G., it's your time, and followed by Stephen G.
Thank you, Don. This is Larry G. from California. I've been isolating because I haven't been feeling well, so I decided that I need to claim my seat this morning, and so many beautiful shares. You know, those of you on this line who have possibly done some outside work with ACA or Al-Anon or therapy, I finally, it took me a long time through the help of this program to realize how sick I was, but also how sick the family disease is, the family system, and how utterly powerless I am to affecting change. And I really made a mess of things early on in my recovery in AA. My dad was an alcoholic. I wanted to 12-step him so badly that ended up damaging that relationship. And what I've discovered is that I think the bane of all evil is hope. If I'm going into a situation hopeful that I have can make an effect on a man or a woman's family, then that's the wrong motivation. But if I go into a situation like Bill finally got the message and went to Bob because Bill went to Bob to stay sober, not to get Bob sober. If I do that, then there's nothing I can do to hurt that situation. I don't know who wrote this chapter. I know that this chapter was written before Al-Anon. I think the Al-Anons really have, you know, have the answer here. I've been to a few Al-Anon conferences, and really, I'm not a professional. It's working with a family. I have been in situations where I've worked with families before, and it is utterly, utterly powerless, and I don't have the skills or tools. All I can do is be a demonstration. I have 12-step people in program where I've got to meet their significant other, and I always recommend that they go to Al-Anon or they go to some 12-step program for themselves. But you know, they're as sick as the person, the compulsive eater, or they're as sick as the alcoholic. In fact, they're even sicker because society rewards these people. These people are the responsible ones in the family. Not only are they raising their children, but they're also raising the alcoholic or the compulsive overeater. So they have no support. And I've always suggested, you know, an outside program, you know, for them as well. But they never see themselves as the problem. They always, the identified problem is the alcoholic or the compulsive eater.
Time.
And so anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you for listening to me, and I love you all.
We love you too, Jerry, Larry. Thank you so much. Larry G. from California. Stephen G., it's your turn, followed by Julie P.
Good morning. Stephen G., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thanks, Don. So we're here, we're now recovered, and the book is explaining to us how to carry the message to the still suffering compulsive overeater. And we learned in the doctor's opinion that frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices, that the willingness to take actions to recover have to come from within the still suffering compulsive overeater, and there's nothing I can do that's going to make those people willing. And we see in this chapter that, you know, it's going to be our demeanor that's going to be the most effective message, not so much the words. And so I have to be very careful to not do things like forcing myself, hysterically pleading, being over anxious, because those things won't be effective. And I know that from my own experience that it had to be the pain and suffering of the disease that finally made me willing to listen to the message. And when it's being carried by somebody who's calmly expressing it to me, who's saying they were in the same position that I was in, and they've taken these actions, and they have recovered, that'll be the most effective message that I can receive. And we see in the previous three paragraphs that over and over it's repeated the same thing, that wait for people until people have finished the spree, i.e. the only thing that will impel somebody or will propel somebody to take the actions is their own suffering. And I can't bring them to that place. I had to get to that point where I was backed into a corner. Quicksand surrounded me in all directions. And finally, then, this simple toolkit of spiritual instructions or spiritual actions was placed before me with very little fanfare. And then I became willing to take the actions. And lo and behold, I was able to recover. And thank God for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Julie P., it's your turn to share, followed by Charlotte L., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota, currently in Indiana. I am so grateful today that I get to say the word recovered. I have been through the steps again after my relapse last fall, and I am so grateful for the spiritual experience and awakening that I have received this time through. And the words that come to my mind in this paragraph is, did anybody ask? I think back, I've had a couple sponsees previously that have gone back out there, and my current sponsor and I have been talking about how cunning, baffling, and powerful food addiction is. And so many of us have in our journey relapse and going back to the food. And it is so important for me to take God with me when I'm getting ready to sponsor somebody, because I don't have the power to do anything. All I can do is help guide them when they're ready and when they ask, and to continue to just touch base with my previous sponsees that are back out there. I want them to know that I am here when they are ready. And I am learning that this really isn't about me. God will lead the person to me when they're ready. And when I'm ready. And thank you all. I wish you a blessed day and thank everybody for their service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. Charlotte L., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 90, that fourth paragraph. If he does not want to see you through one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. So after Charlotte and Wendy share, I'll take another couple names or so. Go ahead, Charlotte. Please share with us.
Hi, Charlotte L. from Washington State. And what a relief this is, you know. you know, growing up in an alcoholic home, I kind of had extra feelers of, you know, for if, you know, so it's drinking or not drinking, is today going to be a good day or not a good day, those kind of things. And so I kind of grew up trying to make sure everyone was okay. I did this with my husband. I did this with my children. I felt, you know, not realizing that I was playing God, you know, but it's such a relief to know that I can't fix anyone. You know, I can't even fix myself, you know, only through willingness to work these steps and, you know, give the reins of my life over to my higher power, God. Was I able to get recovered and bless someone else, whether it be a sponsee or a family member or someone I care about? They have to get to that point. It took me 15 years to get to this point, you know? So I have to give others grace to get to their point of desperation. You know, I had the gift of desperation when I came into the program because I had done everything else. And there was no hope in all the things Charlotte was trying to do. And so even losing a son to addiction and having his twin brother I can't fix them. You know, I can't fix anyone. So I can pray for them. I can hope for them. But ultimately, it's between them and God, and that's the same with my sponsees also. So, you know, it's my job to share my experience, strength, and hope, and to give service, but they have to be ready, just like I had to be ready. Thank you for letting me share. I love this meeting, and with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Charlotte L. from Washington State. Wendy M., it's your turn to share. Then I'll take some more names.
Yeah, good morning, Wendy. I'm a compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. Dawn, always good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for your service and everybody. The shares have been phenomenal. So, you know, when a stranger asks me, what is OA? I don't understand. I say, it's a program about how I treat people, right? It shows me how to treat other human beings, not something that I knew very well. I was pretty much in the bedevilments when I came 25 years ago. And I have no idea how to treat people, right? I have a book. I have these instructions. It shows me how to treat human beings. And this is clearly for, you know, the sponsor relationship, but it's really anyone, right? So before program and really in my first couple of months, I dropped all my weight. I literally would go and I'd go shopping, of course, you know, clothes shopping, and I would show my photos before and after to anybody and everybody in the store. And just to give you more of an idea of what I'm like, I'd be on blind dates with men. I'd pull out the big book. Okay, that's not totally true. I didn't pull out a big book, but I basically did, right? I thought, well, they need to be 12-step. They probably need to hear this. So my favorite word in the big book is the word exert. We exert ourselves more. Well, I thought that I had to exert myself more with my sponsees. If they don't, wait, you know, I would be like, don't you want what I have? Of course you want what I have. That's ridiculous. I'll just repeat myself more and more and more. And today I don't do that. I promise. I don't pull out the big book on a blind date and I don't exert myself more. Yesterday I was talking to a potential sponsee and all I had to say was, this is what got me here, right? The food or, you know, sex and love addiction, whatever it is. This is what got me here, right? Right. My desperation got me here. My desperation said, yes. I said to my sponsor a year and a half ago, I will do anything you tell me to do because I don't know. I'm out of ideas. I just don't know. But that's the sponsee who's ready, right? And we don't, like all of you have been saying, you know, this is about learning how to listen. This is about learning how to go to God. God is sponsoring these people, not me. It's not my business. Some of my favorite words in the book are, I don't and no. I don't know. I don't know what's good for this person. I used to think I knew what was good for all of you. including myself, right? So they're just like my program is not my business. Their program is not my business. It really isn't. All I'm doing and we're doing is carrying the message, and we are the message. If I'm happy, joyous, and free, great. Maybe somebody wants that. You know, I would want that if somebody came to me and they were happy, joyous, and free, you know, not just talking about chopping up the vegetables, but actually happy, joyous, and free. And this is all God. This is God's business. And the other thing is I'm really not that important. Okay. I love that. I'm really not that important. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Page 90, the fourth paragraph, if he does not want to see you through one paragraph ending, for that might spoil matters. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? Who is that name?
Barbara W.
Barbara W., very good.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would like to share? You know what, Chanel? It's still cutting in and out.
All right. Well, I'm a newcomer. Hope that when I call in, I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, very good. That was better when you responded just now, the last couple seconds you were talking. It was better. So hopefully it'll work out. Yeah. So Chanel T, I'll write you down. Very good. Chanel T, who else would like to share? David. What's your initial? I'm sorry.
Polly Q.
M.
Okay. I have, was it N as in, no? David N?
M as in Mary.
Oh, M as in Mary. Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. Well, let's go with that. I have Barbara W., Chanel T., David M., and Polly Q. Barbara W., it's your turn to share.
Oh, okay. Good morning. I'm Barbara, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to share on that chapter that we just was reading, even though every chapter is good. But this program for me is like a learning thing. I've been back, I think, 2 years now, and I've been writing my story and everything where I come from and my addictions and everything, and I'm doing the steps again before the park opens up. For May, we open up the park for Memorial Day, and I'm going to be working at the Land of Make-Believe in New Jersey up here for about 4 days and for 4 months, just for the summer. And I've been working there for the last 17 months, and I learned so much about people and friends. I never take for granted that I know that I come from alcoholism, codependent, and all those different sorts of addictions have ran in my family. Codependent, alcohol, smoking, and maybe in cough syrup, but I was out there. But since I've been in the program, I have constantly worked on myself all the time. And it's not has been easy, but I've been down the road with it. My food, everything. It's just a marvel new way of life living. And if I can sit there during the day and turn on my smart TV and just watch the meetings and the steps and the people on there and what they're going through and about OA and the steps and everything, it just fills my heart to know this program really works, but it takes work. I have to constantly, every year, keep doing it over and over and over. Because I was born with this type of disease and illness and dysfunction that runs in my completely whole family. And it's teaching me to see it and to know what type of disease and family background we all come from. And Lord, I do. I can't change anyone. I can't make them do anything with this program. All I can do is live it for Barbara. Because a lot of them in my family, the only one has it is my brother and me. The rest of them go to church. They don't want it. But it's okay. Because, you know, I need it and I want it and it's helping me. It's helping my brother Michael. He's involved with NA. So, you know, and we're close and everything. And that is a blessing. There's one out of the family that's close to me. We can talk, we share, and everything like that. And my oldest brother in South Carolina, he's a minister in church. So I'm just here, hopefully, that I'll be moving to South Carolina next year because of my health reasons. And New Jersey is too cold for me. Every year I'm aching. Every year. So I just wanted to share that part. The program is working for me with other people, letting them be who they are, and me just learning that I have to look at my life. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Chanel T., it's your turn to share, followed by David M.
Hi, Don. Can you hear me okay?
It's cutting out and in now a little bit, but let's try it.
Okay. Thank you. Chanel T., Washington State, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater by God's grace. So, Brittany, I'm not that innocent. And what keeps me with this paragraph is I'm not that powerful. So imagine Brittany singing that, because that's the truth, and thank God. I'm powerless over compulsive eating. I'm powerless over the food. I'm powerless over this addiction, my food behaviors. I'm also powerless over recovery. I carry a message both by bearing witness to what this book says and what it does for me every day, what God does through what this book says. But I am not in charge. And for somebody who likes to be in charge, that is, and I need it. And it's really good. Because what God is going to do, or what everybody's higher power, they call their higher, they call God, is going to someone is so much greater than anything I could do. It's so much greater. It's so much better. And if I can just remember that by rereading this chapter every time I go through with someone, or I don't want a meeting, whatever I'm doing, so that I remember, I carry the message mostly by bearing witness to what has been done for, in, and through me. It's not that much me. I do my work. Yes, I work the steps, and I work them very hard because it's life or death for me. However, it is my higher power, all the heavy lifting. And if someone wants what I have, I'm here. I'm happy to carry the message for whatever it needs to be. Maybe I'm an outreach person for them. But I am not that powerful. And that's a really, really good thing. Thank God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. David M., it's your turn to share, followed by Polly Q. Star one, David. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard. Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, you can, Dawn.
You can.
Okay, perhaps David M. had to step off the line. Polly Q., are you available to share?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for your service, moderator. This is Polly Q. in Northern California, recovered. But recovery is an interesting thing. It is, it's every day, every minute, because my food addiction is very much connected to my concerns about my family. So when I'm looking at this, neither should the family hysterically plead with him or could be her to do anything. And this is getting to me lately. I'm struggling with this thing, you know, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. Boy, humans are humans, and if I'm concerned about anybody, specifically a family member, I want to tell them what to do. I want to urge them to do it. I'm scared. And once I fall into that category, and I do so easily, then I'm playing God, and I forget all the time about that. and I start pushing them away without meaning to, because I'm desperate, you know. Oh, but did you know about this? And did you know about that? And how about this? Or that's not right. I don't think that's what's happening. You know, as soon as I get into that place, there is, I'm out of the control of my higher power, and I'm being controlled by my ego. And the ego wants to kill me. It's a huge component of this disease, and a human component of this disease. And so it, you know, I always, always struggle to mind my own business. And what would that have to do with this addiction? Because if I get into that space, I will lose my recovery. If I get worked up over what a sponsee is doing, I will lose my recovery. If I become that family member that wants their daughter to get this program, their son to get this program, if I become that family member, then and I get over anxious in trying to tell my point of view, and I will, and trying to save their lives. Don't you know I'm trying to save their lives? When I do that, I spoil matters. Oh, it is the Achilles heel. It's the Achilles heel for me. And I'm not the only one. I work two different programs and they meld together often. And I'm not the only one. And so, you know, it's so hard to let people live their lives. But I am not God, and I don't know what's best for them. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Polly Q from California. David M., are you on the line? Okay. Go ahead. We just have a minute share for you, David. Please go ahead.
Oh, all right. I'll make it quick. David, I'm here. Glad to be here. So I'm trying to remember what it was that I wanted to share on and what the reading was. But just having some struggles here at work right now. And it's going to my higher power, you know. Got to go to my higher power and say, you know, give it over, hand it over. And I'm really grateful for the meeting. Especially at this time, especially the online, you know, it's such a grace, it's such a blessing. Instead of having to go to, you know, if I'm in work, what am I going to do? You know, I can't go to an in-person meeting. So I just want to grateful for that. Just want to share, but I want to get back to work. But just wanted to share. Thank you, everybody. Glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Perfect timing, David M. And thank you to so much to everyone who shared. And we'll now close with reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne SCH please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you, Dawn. My name is Anne SCH, and I'm calling in from Vancouver, Canada, and I'm very grateful to be here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.